About Last Night is a podcast series that I have wanted to record for ages. Each episode, I talk to someone who excels in their field about the highs and lows of their creative journey and how and where they find joy in their lives. Some people have asked me about the name, why About Last Night? Well, simply because I try to meet my guests towards the end of the day and we chat over a drink or two. This episode's guest is founder and CEO of Nosh Detox, Geeta Sidhu Rob. Now, if you follow me on Instagram or read my blog, you will know I'm a huge Nosh Detox fan. I much prefer detoxes over diets. If I tell myself I can't eat something, that is all I will obsess about. So as I'm a reasonably long-standing client of Nosh Detox, it was wonderful for me to sit down with Geeta and have a conversation, find out about her vision, her creative journey, and her plans for Nosh for the future. Nosh Detox was primarily born out of Geeta's need to cure her son, who had been so ill with severe allergies. In fact, so much so that he'd spent nearly 2 years in hospital. There are other reasons too, which you may know already or have read about, but rather than lay them out for you here, I will let you listen to our conversation in Geeta's own words. So, it was pretty inspirational and interesting, sitting down and finding some time with Geeta. She is not fluffy at all, but she's incredibly warm. She is straight and to the point, but tempered with a lovely sense of humour. But above all, I found her to be really purposeful and very clear on what she wants to achieve and get out of life. And I get the sense that she has always been that way. Two parts of Geeta's working life that I found particularly fascinating are that she does a lot of coaching with businesswomen and celebrities, and through Nosh, she works with a lot of people with cancer. And as she talks about this, it was really clear that it's one of the most gratifying parts of her working life. So, we met in the summer on a bright, hot, balmy day in a very chilled cafe on the King's Road in London. Here's our conversation. I am so happy to have a little chunk of your time because I know you're
such
very busy.
I
am sitting here with Geeta Sidhu Rob, CEO and founder of Nosh Detox. Now, you know what a huge Nosh Detox fan I am.
Yes, and I'm very grateful.
No, I love it because it works and we can get to that in a minute. As I mentioned to you when we were just chatting beforehand, some people have sort of said to me, oh, Nosh Detox, how come you're including Geeta in your sort of creative people and creative journeys? And as you and I both sort of agreed, it is an incredibly creative journey because you went from being a professional lawyer to creating something from these seeds of passion. One, the need to get your son well, which maybe you'll share with us as well, and also create something that's going to help everybody. Would you agree?
Yeah. And also, I think we shouldn't discount the fact that I really, really wanted to eat.
Yes, well, really, maybe you can put that in context too. So why don't you start off by telling us how and why Nosh Detox is born?
It was actually born out of dire necessity. I had walked out on an extremely abusive husband, and I have three children under the age of seven. And the youngest was still in nappies, actually. And I was sort of just thinking, oh God, what do we do to live? And I got fired from my job because I had spent so much time in hospital with my son, and it was just the last straw, I think. And they were just nice, the nicest people. They really can't blame them at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, also, what's going to happen is I'm going to keep going to work, and one day I'll come home and I'll have a dead child because my son had such extreme allergies.
Right.
So I ended up thinking I must be able to do something at home. And my and I think if you had asked me before that, I would not have said I was in any way creative. My best friend came to stay, and she was like, you know, can we stop talking about how poor you are, and can we please talk about how fat I am, because I actually desperately need to lose weight, because she had two children in 1 year. And I was like, yeah, of course, you just have to do this, give her a list of six things or seven things to do. And so can we now talk about my poverty again?
So was that just off the top of your head?
Yeah.
So you didn't have any sort of nutritional education or anything like that?
Well, in a way I had, because what I had done was I'd made my son better, because he had asthma and eczema and anaphylaxis, and and he was very, very ill. He had cardiorespiratory arrest, he was in hospital in a coma for a week, he was in hospital 240 days of the year, and I had to just make him better, because there were no other solutions in those days.
So you did that thing that I think a lot of mothers acquire, but you've taken it to the nth degree. I always say to my kids, as you become a mother, year on year, you develop a sort of almost you acquire a pseudo medical degree.
Yeah.
Because you learn on the job.
Yeah.
And you know when your child is, that looks kind of normal. And then you go, no, we've got to get to A&E now.
Now. Yeah. Exactly. And you know the difference.
You know every little gradient in between. So you've taken that to an nth degree.
Well, because he was an nth degree allergy and an nth degree illness and all of that. So there was little choice, really. And in 1996, seven, there were no solutions. There just weren't any. So I made them up.
Okay.
And then I wrote a little sort of a cookbook going, you know, this is how you should eat. And then we went down that journey. So by the time she was trying to lose weight, I already knew what her body could and couldn't do.
Okay.
Because that was what I knew to do. So every time something worked on my son, I'd learn about it. And I'm a lawyer, so I knew how to research.
Yes.
And pretty much nothing else.
Yes.
So she rang me up 5-6 weeks later and went, oh my God, this, you've got to do this, because this is what people will pay you money for. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, I've lost 2 dress sizes in 6 weeks. And I was like, yeah. And she went, you knew that? I'm like, yes, that's why I told you to do it. She was like, bloody sell this, okay? So I was like, oh, okay then.
I hope you took this friend out for a really nice dinner after you set up Nosh Detox.
She still harasses me. And so, yeah, that's how Nosh came about. But I do think that the building of Nosh as a business and the transition from lawyer to mother to self-employed to entrepreneur and ultimately to CEO is only about your own growth.
Okay.
And growth is hugely creative.
Yes.
Hugely.
Totally.
There is no other, it doesn't matter what you're growing, how you're growing, growth is creative.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So you said it was born out of necessity.
I had no way to pay the bills.
Okay.
My mother was furious because she's like, you don't walk out on rich men. Because we had made a lot of money together. And I didn't marry money, we made it together.
Yes,
so I was like, well, it's okay, he'll give me some and, you know, we'll go on our merry way. Oh no, it didn't. So we ended up penniless, really, and nowhere to go and nothing to eat. And a girlfriend lent me a bedroom, so I slept on her floor for 6 months, and I built something from there.
Did you find the joy early on in Nosh, or was it a case of no? So how does
I didn't find joy for years.
Okay.
Because I mean, I did. I found things to be grateful for.
Of course.
And those were things that were. In fact, what was interesting was that it was when I was sleeping on the floor and my kids were on a bed, and I would go for these long walks for an hour, 2 hour every night, because otherwise I couldn't sleep if I hadn't exhausted myself.
Right. Your brain
and I would walk past all these shops and they were all designer goods, things that I would have walked in and bought the week before as many as I wanted, and now I had 5 clothes and 2 pairs of shoes, and you just sort of, it changes you, and I kind of, there was always joy in the little moments,
of course,
but I think maybe it was the lack of contentment. It wasn't a consistent thing.
Yes,
I learned gratitude before I learned joy.
Okay.
And so I didn't realize that until, because to me joy is quite a deep emotion.
Yes,
and
I agree.
It's very deep. It's very encompassing. And I didn't feel safe enough to feel joyful.
That's
for a very long time.
And I think that's so, how honest of you. I really appreciate that. I often think that I'm slightly delusional. I mean, I mentioned to you about my father's operation going wrong and losing him after 3 years of him being hospitalized and his health just deteriorating before our eyes. But I do think I am slightly delusional, because there's always this core of joy running through me.
That's good.
Unshakable. But I think maybe it could be to do with mental instability.
I think you should actually not speak like that about it. I think that if you are privileged enough to carry joy, then that's what you carry.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't go around thinking, oh my God, I'm so inspiring. I just think, oh my God, how screwed up this has been. And then people have told me, you don't inspire yourself.
No.
You do what you have to do.
Yeah, and
so
you
if you
are
carry joy, it's just not what you think about when you wake up in the morning, is it?
No, totally.
I have learned that it's really interesting, but it's been a learning that I can do something, and because I did it and I got out and I achieved something, other people think, oh, because you did, I can.
Yes.
And if you want to call that inspiring, then I'll own it.
So how does Nosh Detox bring you joy now? It's been, you've had it
Oh, in so many ways. 10 years.
10 years,
but
right.
In so many ways, because now I now do more of what I want, and
okay.
I don't do anything I don't want, which is great. So I have this incredible team of people that are so... My number two is from heaven. I love her so much. Personally, I coach senior women leaders and CEOs.
Right.
Who want to go through transitions and life changes. And I love that. I love that. But I also work with... people who are dying, you
okay.
know, it's one of the less known parts of my job because I've done it forever and I don't talk about it, but
okay. Oh, okay.
I work with people who are dying of cancer, and
wow.
they get sent to us and they have 1 month to live, 3 months to live, and they have, you know, and where the, and they ask us, can you help, because they know alkaline diets help, they know that vitamin C helps, and they come and they ask for help, and it's a really interesting thing to do, to deal with people who are dying every day.
Wow.
You know, it's you sort of, it's one of the biggest growth processes in the world, where you look at people who are dying, you know you can help them.
Yes.
Or you think you can, and they don't want that help.
Oh.
And you have to learn to accept them where they are. And
yeah.
it's zero to do with you.
Yes.
I'm faced with either the person who wants to take over the world,
yes.
and the person who just wants to stay in the world.
Yes, yes, that's so interesting. You must have a strength about you. Well, you do have a strength about you.
I'm
it's
very
in your,
strong.
It's in your presence. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm very strong. I'm very powerful, and
yes.
I'm very resilient. I'm very lucky. Most people don't know who they are.
Yes.
And I know exactly what I will and won't do. Where you can buy me, where you can't, and it's not often very expensive. I
yes.
will do Chanel, but I'll do donuts.
Yes, good.
You know, so, but I know myself inside and out.
Yes.
And that's super helpful.
Is that something that you've always had? Like, some children,
I've always been
some teenagers
quirky.
Are quite...
I've always had my own tune that I've danced to or drummed to or whatever you call it. I can always see the truth in the thing that's in front of me. And that is either very comfortable or very uncomfortable, but it is... impossible for me to not see it. You know, when they do things, oh, so-and-so had an affair with a married man, how awful of her. And I'm like, but she's not married.
Yeah,
only
yeah.
he is.
Yeah, yeah,
and they'd
yeah.
be like, you don't understand. And I'd be like, oh.
Yes.
But that's always been, from when I could speak, I've always had that.
Do you ever regret leaving that structured lawyer life?
Never.
Never.
In fact, somebody said to me that I would have evolved and grown spiritually when I could look at my ex-husband and bless him. And I was like, oh my God, that's never going to happen.
Oh gosh.
And it's really interesting that I bless him.
Okay.
I absolutely bless him. Had he not been so appalling, had it not been so awful, I wouldn't have left. And God knows where I'd have ended up. I'm so grateful. All of it was well, it was what it was.
Yes.
So... the joy of this was that my relationship with my children is amazing.
Yes.
And I just think it would not have necessarily been like that. Whereas
okay.
we, I was reminded about it because I had some people who don't know us very well come to dinner on Monday night, and the kids joined us. And they were just like, you have the most amazing children and this and this. And I was like, no, they're not. And they were like, no, we had so much fun. And it was true. We all had so much fun because, and I looked at that and I thought, yes, I mean, that is such a space of pride for me.
Of course.
And I'm all, no, but also when people say, what's the most you've ever achieved? Now, my relationship with my children is always on any business website. I did an interview where I think it was the Financial Times. First thing. It's always
yes.
the first thing. I just don't have a second thing for that because that matters to me the most.
Of course.
And when my relationship with my children isn't working...
You're all down
super
tools?
Painful.
Will you sometimes down tools and just make sure...
No, no, of course.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then I want to kill them and all, but you know, other than that, we're doing really well.
And they must be so proud. I bet they're your greatest cheerleaders.
I've never asked them.
Really?
No.
I bet they are. I bet they are.
My son's like, I am never working in your business as long as you know. I'm like, all right, sweetie. And the younger one wants to start a property portfolio. And the middle one's like, well, maybe. And my stepdaughter's kind of like, I'll come. And my stepson's
good.
Like, don't call me. You know,
so
it's kind of...
So you've kind of got a bit of everything going on. So 5 children in
yeah.
the house or coming and going.
Yeah.
There are certain challenges when you juggle a personal and professional life. how does it work in your day-to-day and in your daily routine? And do you have times when you kind of go, oh my God, there is just too much going on, I can't do this right now?
Yes, but you know, the thing is, when you ask a busy woman to get something done, it gets done faster.
Absolutely.
You ask a busy person and it gets done faster. So there are certain, when I first became a single parent, I actually did everything and overdid it and really, really struggled, because I ended up in the hospital on a drip, dehydrated, and it was a real come to a Jesus moment, because I'm never ill. And I remember sitting there trying to get somebody to pick up my children and thinking, oh my God, if I die, who's going to end up looking after my kids? It's my mother or my... And my mother and I did not have a good relationship. My mother or my ex, who I'm loathed even more than I loathe my mother. I was like, oh my God. So I have been super focused on my health and my wellness since that point. And what I do is, I basically have a professional wife. I have a housekeeper, and she runs my home. So it means that my house caters to what I need it to do.
Perfect.
So my kids are looked after. My food is, I do the shopping and stuff. You know, long live Amazon and Tesco.
Yes.
But it comes in the door, and then we know what she's going to make with it. And I've always been very blessed with super kind, generous people. You know?
Around you.
Yeah.
Well, I think like attracts like in this scenario. Well, I really
also
do believe that.
Yeah, and I think people are just really, really nice at core. Most of the people, even just because you meet one or two that are complete raving morons, it doesn't mean other people, you know. And I've been in places where I've really needed help.
Yes.
And always been too afraid to ask for it. And people have helped.
That's, you know, an so Indian thing.
It's a woman thing too.
Yes,
so my house runs really, really well. Like yesterday, I left at 5 in the morning, God help me, to go to Rotterdam, and I came back at 8:30 in the evening. And the clothes are ironed, the house is done. It just does not improve my character to iron anything.
It's probably the worst household chore, I think.
Oh,
it's my least favourite household chore.
Cooking, cleaning toilets.
None of that.
I know, and people love cooking, and I just don't get it. My best friend loves to cook, my mother loves to cook, and I look at them and I just think, you go to all that effort and in 20 minutes it's eaten. You know, it just drives me. There's no legacy. I trained as a raw cook, so I'm really happy with raw food.
Okay.
But so there's things that I don't do at all.
Okay.
So that are very traditional for women, and I don't do them.
But that's okay.
I have no problem with them at all.
Yeah. What about, so is that a traditional day for you, up at 5?
No.
And traveling? So
God,
tell
no,
me
that
about,
is
a
horrible.
Little bit about...
So a traditional day is, I get up at 6:30, 6:45. I usually walk the kids to the school bus, or I get up at 7:30 if it's not a school day. Much to my poor housekeeper's dismay. And I start work. I will meditate. I will do morning pages, which is writing.
I do that too.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
And then I will... I used to work out then, but then I've changed that. And I will shower, get dressed, and go to the office and be there for... It depends. If I've been working the night before, I'll go a bit later. And at the moment, I'm writing a book, which has driven me mad. So I start that from 9 to 11 every morning.
And is this your life?
Some of it. Some of it is more about, you know, what we should do and can do and how to get stronger and more powerful and healthier, because that's what I love about women.
Yes.
To make women feel powerful and strong.
Yes.
So that just is like, oh, exhausting. It's 9 to 11. I do that every day. And then I go through emails, and I finish work about 7.
Okay.
And I go to the gym usually at lunchtime. So I'll go weightlifting, or I'll do CrossFit, or I'll do gymnastics or yoga.
Oh my, gymnastics?
Yeah, I want to do handstands.
Can you do one?
Ish. I'm getting better at it.
Yeah, no, I've never been able to do one.
I will.
I can't do. I'd love to learn to do a cartwheel, but I'm just too scared to be upside down.
Yeah, no, I'm getting over it.
Are
I'm getting
you?
There. Mm.
Okay,
I go every week.
Well,
if
maybe
I can.
You could learn and then teach me.
No.
No.
No, really not. But I'll introduce you to a nice man who can. So that's
do
kind
you
of
not,
the day.
I wouldn't be safe in your hands
no,
learning a handstand.
No, let's not. Let's do the things we're good at.
Okay, fair enough.
So that tends to be the day. And then I have meetings some days. I have speaking events some evenings. I write a lot because I'm writing articles or editorials and stuff. There's always requests for something or the other coming in. So.
Yes. Are you less hands-on rather with NOSH now? Is it kind of like the framework's in place and
I'm
your
trying
team?
To be a bit less hands-on because my number two is already actually making it all run. And I'm like, can we just promote you and call you the MD? And she went, no. So we're working on that.
Okay.
So I'm still CEO of Nosh. I still look at the stuff in Nosh. I make the decisions for Nosh, but she does the majority of it and comes to me when she runs it. I train everybody who works for me to do their job and come to me with the problems.
Yes.
Because that's what I need from them. I need them to come and find a way, because I excel at fixing problems.
Yes.
And so that's what I want her to come to me for.
I wonder if that's a background in law. Because it's not the first time I've heard that. And also,
I'm sure.
I think mothers have this ability.
Yeah, what choice do you have?
Yeah, and we kind of go, I don't know how I'm going to make this work, but I'm going to make it work. A couple of years ago, my daughter got glandular fever before her A-levels in April. Yeah, it was awful, actually. It took about a year to get her well. And I just remember saying, you're not doing your A-levels. And she kind of went, what? Can I do that? And I said, I'm not sure,
but
we're
going
to make it work somehow. And that's what you do. And it seems that is the way that every area of your life works.
And everybody who works for me works that way. And so we either have people that come in the door and after 2 months are screaming out the door.
Right.
Or have been there for years.
That's great.
It's always one or the other, because it's so full on.
Yes.
You just kind of have to work it out.
What's the progression with Nosh now? So I was saying I'm a massive fan. For me, diets never work. You know, the minute I tell myself I actually can't eat something.
You want nothing
but
that.
I want it all
that.
The time.
Yeah,
exactly. And
like
I think
that.
I'm not unusual in that way. I think lots of people are like that. I love that short, sharp reset. And what I love about Nosh is it works, because my biggest issue is sugar.
Yeah, it really works.
Even if for 3 days I take that out of my diet and follow the plan and eat whatever, and actually it's a lazy option. You bring everything to my door, so I don't actually have to do anything for three days, 5 times a day. And that reset actually lasts for quite a long period of time.
It does. It lasts for a really long time.
Yeah,
it's shocking how long it lasts.
It's incredible.
The progression for Nosh is interesting now, because what we're doing is we've got to have the core business just doing what it's doing. And we've just hired a company to build up the audience. So their goal is to double our audience by the end of this year, which they think they can do. And I've watched them do it.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. Mm. But also, we're creating online courses. So everything that we do, you'll be able to just download it and do it at home if you want to. And you should be able to do it. And once I've set that up and have it working, I'll translate it into Russian, hopefully Russian and Chinese, Mandarin, and see how that goes.
Okay.
Because that will take us quite far. But there's a lot of the English-speaking world. I want to build a global offering. And that's what the online courses will do for us.
Brilliant.
And we're negotiating licenses for sales. So we've got two in play at the moment. And each of the companies are quite big and they want 3 or 4 licenses each. So it's about expansion.
Okay.
It's about taking it global without me having to do it, because it's what I don't want to do.
Right.
For me, the thing in the online courses is they come out of new products, and I've developed those products. So I developed vegan keto, and it's a bloody impossible product, because ketogenics is so meat and egg based. And I just thought, no, because I'm vegetarian.
Okay.
I'm vegan mostly. And I was like, no, there must be a way to develop a vegan version of it. And they were like, no, there's not. And there is. And we did.
Ah.
And then we did the heavy metal program, which is lose your last 10 pounds. So those two products I created earlier this year, and I'm not doing that again for a few months, because it takes a lot of effort to create them.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
It really does, because it's a hell of a lot of research. And then I remembered that when we sold the products, all the research would go to waste. And I was like, why don't we sell these as online programs?
Okay.
So then we went, so the vegan keto is the first one that comes online.
When you sell these online, it's basically you give people like a sort of shopping list?
Everything.
They need to do? Everything.
No, it'll be everything. There's a series of videos, there's downloads, here's what you eat when you go out, here's the cookbook.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely everything.
Okay.
Here's why you do it, here's how you do it, here's when you do it, here's the benefits of it, all the questions answered. It's hopefully a fairly comprehensive course with just the food coming in the form of a cookbook.
So you just want to change people's lives for the better. That's really
the strap
line,
isn't it? I want them to have
the
ability to choose to do that themselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's what we're going to do with that. And then the book will come out actually at the end of October. So that'll be interesting.
That'll be amazing.
See.
I can't wait to read that.
I'm never reading it. I'm just not. I just look at this stuff and I just think, oh my God. But yeah.
But I think...
But the kids will be happy.
But I think also you were saying that inspiring people and mentoring people is really important to you. And
I love it.
Yeah, and I think, certainly as I've grown up, you know, when I was at school, I was bullied quite a lot and stuff, and I had a really funny view of girlfriends. As I get older, I seem to attract very much more like-minded women, and we all have this goal of raising each other up and supporting each other and standing by each other, and that is such a beautiful and powerful thing. And you obviously do that in spades.
And I enjoy it, but also I do it at work. But I used to struggle in my private life to have, I don't know if you did this because you sing, but because I have I'm a semi-public figure, I found that it made it harder for people, because either you've got people who are really, really happy with who they are and they don't care, and or you've got people who absolutely hate you or are jealous of it. And you never quite get a myth. You always, the twain don't meet. And I used to really struggle with it. And about 2.5 years ago, 4 years ago, I joined a networking group called The Sorority.
Oh, yes.
Which has now gotten to be quite well known. And I felt very safe in The Sorority because everybody there was super ambitious and wanted stuff and whatever. And then one of the girls that was a very, very tall, very loud Italian woman adopted me about 2.5 years ago and went, "Darling, you're my sister, let's go out."
Okay.
And we got very, very close, and she goes out every day, all day, every night, and I just want to shoot myself in the head. But what it was really interesting with her, she forced me to meet a lot of people that otherwise I wouldn't have, and she changed my opinion on how my personal life should work. And it was just a place where I thought, do you know what? Actually, this is ridiculous. You don't actually have a personal life. Maybe you should get one. Find one.
Yes.
And my best friend, one of them lived in Kenya, and my other best friend was my ex. And it was kind of like, we just need to get a grip. And so I very consciously, I did a life review where I sat down.
So your ex, as in your ex-husband?
No, another ex. Yeah, no,
okay.
No, definitely not. And so I did there's an amazing process called the life book. And is a review process.
Okay.
And I went through it and I thought, wow, where do I want to be? And I don't believe in going to places by accident. I believe in consciously creating the pathway for where you want to be on every single level. And we're so faceted.
This is,
you know, we're mothers and wives and friends and sisters and women. And who do you want to be in every one of those criteria?
This is so interesting.
And how are you the best person you can be in every one of those criteria?
So
and
the life book.
Yeah.
Is that like The Artist's Way then? Or a similar concept? Because you do your morning pages, which are in The Artist's Way. Have you done The Artist's Way?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I just did the morning pages.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
The life book came out of Mind Valley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, I need a quiet place for a day where I can write all this. And my wonderful girlfriend, Shelley von Strunkel, has this amazing loft apartment. And she said, come and sit here for the day and let me be. It's such a gift of friendship there. And I wrote out the whole day. Who, what, where, when, why, where am I now, where do I want to go? And it's so interesting because I look around now and I have such amazing girlfriends. I have depth in my girl friendships.
Yeah.
I have depth in my boy friendships. And
Which is a really satisfying place to be, isn't it?
And these women are all people that I think are amazing.
I feel you take things pretty much in your stride. I mean, yes, you seem to be handed challenges and crises, but you kind of go, right, I'm going to grab this head on and I'm going to fix it. Are there ever times when you go, this is actually too much?
Yes, yeah, there are.
Even now?
There's been a couple of times this year where I've just stopped and thought, actually, I don't quite know how to cope. It's just too much. And it's been... I always know that I'm not doing really well when I finish work and go and sit upstairs in my bedroom with my iPad and a packet of crisps and I'm hiding under the duvet.
Crisps?
I love crisps.
Do you?
Absolutely love crisps.
Of all the things you could eat,
crisps,
that are bad.
Cashew nuts.
Hang on, who at Nosh allows you to eat crisps?
I'm the boss. And this is my...
I
think it's important.
No.
I think it's really important to know. Sometimes. No, actually, rarely. It's very important to know that if I'm going to live really healthily for 98.5% of the time,
yeah.
I do that because the remaining 1.5%, because it's like I was saying to you, no one goes out to dinner with me anymore except my girlfriends who will go, Gita, because I'm the one with the vodka and I'll have the cake and I'll have the Coke and the chocolate.
No.
And why would I live super healthy if I can't do what I want to do the rest of the time?
Yeah.
To me, that's a complete waste of my bloody time.
I'm just laughing that your guilty pleasure is crisps.
It is.
I just feel like you could
And
have
I'm super open about it. Okay. Because I think it's really important for us to know these things.
Yes. No, that's good.
I'm one of my best friends who runs a really great health business, and she's just like, yeah, margaritas.
Mm.
I'm like, yeah, I can do that.
But
that and Mexican food.
It's quite healthy, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I guess, but not after you've had a few of them.
No, that's always my
so,
guess.
You know, I'm kind of careful about that. So I do, so I'm kind of aware of when I'm failing.
Okay.
And I stop it very fast. There are still times it gets past me. Like I knew yesterday I was getting up at 5 and I was doing whatever, so I didn't actually move till 9 a.m, which is super late for me, and then I was straight into my bloody book. But, you know, I just had that, I just need space and time for myself.
Yes.
And that's what I make space and time for. I do. But sometimes when the demands become very high, sometimes when you have to run your home life and your family life, and you know, you kind of think, I cannot take one more demand.
Yes.
I really can't.
Yes. And for someone that I feel can take a lot,
it's very high.
Yeah.
It's very high. So I've learned to go to the gym, and I have the most wonderful community at my gym. I love them. I love them so much. They're just the nicest bloody people.
I didn't ever really do sport, but now I've learned the benefits, because actually, in fact, I learned when my father was in hospital, because that physical activity and that sweat
exactly
cleared my head.
And it does. It balances your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, that and drips as well, because when I want to shout at people, I'm like, oh, I'm really imbalanced then. I know my nutrients are out of balance when I'm irritable.
Interesting.
And I instantly fix it. Instantly. When I find myself, I rarely now find myself shouting at people, where I used to do that a lot when I was on my own with the kids. And I don't do it now. But so when I do, I'm like, whoa,
okay. Something's
out of balance. Go fix it. And okay. I fix it immediately.
So you're very self-aware.
Massively.
So just circling back to the drips, which are like piquing my interest, do you do them in a hospital then? Or do you?
No,
do
in
them?
A clinic.
Okay.
With a nurse.
Okay.
Just down the road, actually.
And how long do they take?
Mine take a lot less, because they kind of open the tap and download it. but they take, the first appointment is 45 minutes, because you have to fill out a form and blah, and blah,
and
now then the next appointments tend to be 30 minutes.
Okay.
They're amazing. They're the most intelligent thing I've ever invented, honestly.
Okay.
I mean, my mental maths now is better than it was 10 years ago. I can remember 7 digits of numbers.
Okay.
Which 10 years ago I couldn't.
And you attribute that to the drips, 100%.
I attribute, and also the way that I look. I actually look comfortably around 10 years younger than my age, and it makes the drips make that difference.
Tell me about the highs. You've won awards, haven't you?
So many.
Yes. Tell me
about
those.
I was trying to count them, because I was saying to somebody, I think they were 15 or 16,
oh,
and she's like,
Lord.
I'll count. But yeah, a lot, which are really nice. And yesterday, this university rang me up and said, we want you to become the business school. So we wanted to become Entrepreneur of the Year, which is really nice.
That's
and they
amazing.
Did a vote on it, and it's so nice of them. And then HSBC has me as a finalist for another award in September.
That's amazing.
Which is really nice. So the awards are really lovely, and we have won a lot of them as a business. I sort of don't know how to think about them, because it's kind of like they are just a lovely sort of opening of credibility to the outside world.
Of course.
And that's really what they're there for. You don't ever kind of the one that means the most, there are two that mean the most to me. The first one that means the most to me is that I think it was one of the first I ever won, and my goddaughter came to live with us when she was 15, because she lived here on her own like I did. I came here when I was 15, and it was horrible being completely alone without any family and not, you know, and it, well, in the same way, I was living with my aunt, and we didn't know her at all. And she was living with her uncle, and she was unhappy. So it's like, oh, come and stay with us. So she actually basically moved in, and I raised her for the next 4 to 5 years. And she nominated me for an award called Working Mother of the Year. And I got given it at 10 Downing Street.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. And that was lovely. But that's not the point. The point to it was the fact that she nominated me.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I really look at that, and every time I look at it, I am so grateful.
Yes.
And I feel joy and love. Was I can't remember the name of it. It was earlier this year. And one of the women that I know from the sorority actually said to me, can you come to this awards dinner, because I've nominated you and you're a finalist. And I said, oh, that's so sweet. And she rang up my loud Italian girlfriend and said, do you want to get a seat and buy a ticket and come sit next to Gita? So we sat there and I was like, God, this is great. And one of my shareholders was there and I was like, we're not going to win, so why don't we just sneak out now? And she was like, no, let's just stay for a while. I'm like, oh, okay. And then when they do this thing, it was the Champion of Women Awards.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, and it was so lovely. And she was reading it out, and I was like, apparently my jaw just dropped because it was the last thing I expected to happen.
That's amazing.
And but it's the same with this university. They're like, we want you to have this, not just because of what you've done with your business, but how you champion women entrepreneurs.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
And I'm like, yay, I'll take that for that, because that makes me happy, because
yes,
it's good that I'm doing the right thing in the right place in the right way.
Yeah, it's the right sort of validation, and that your path is how it should be,
but it's the ability, and I'm super grateful. If we stopped winning them, it would probably irritate me, but I don't think
you're going to stop winning them anytime soon.
No, but I consider the fact that I have a position and a voice the biggest privilege.
Yes,
if that makes sense.
Yes,
I honestly think that. And you know, I just don't have my head up my own arse, and I never will.
No,
because I know how hard it all is.
No, you seem far too straightforward.
I'm too grounded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the minute you get ungrounded, one of your children will slap you across the face with something, like
yes,
a wet fish, and then you'll come back down again.
That is the beauty of children. Any other highs? I mean, apart from the kids and how wonderful they are.
So many highs. I mean, we have people that have come in and their children have rung up and said, my mother's dying of cancer, can you help? And we've changed their diets and, you know, given them lots of vitamin C and lots of different things. Because, of course, you can't say, yes, I can cure cancer. But,
of course.
But, you know, and they sent us a photo of her from church, and she'd walked to church 4 weeks later.
That's,
you know,
amazing.
I think that makes life worth living, doing
of
something
course
like that. I have a client who's a coaching client, and she, when she came to work for me, was turning over 20 million. And after a year, rang me and said, I haven't done anything different except work with you, but I'm now making double what I was making last year.
That's incredible.
And I was like, wow. And she's going for an IPO this year.
Incredible.
I'm like, that's fantastic. Go and, you know, diarize it, keep a record so we can talk to other women so they can know. So that is amazing.
That's wonderful.
You know, stuff like that is huge highs. And I get them every day almost. Every day, every 2 days, every 3 days, people will ring up. I went to the female FTSE event, and there was this amazing woman, the dean of entrepreneurship somewhere, and she came off stage at the end and came up to me and went, oh my God, I'm your client, you know, like you did.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay. And sometimes people haven't bought from me in a year, 2 years, five
yeah,
years.
Yeah,
and she's
yeah
like, and that email you sent me last week, and da, 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 and she was quoting chapter and verse.
Yes.
So I get highs every day.
What's really wonderful and gratifying for me, because this is all about a creative journey and highs
yeah
and lows and your joy and seeking your joy, is the minute you're talking about your clients and your awards and getting, you know, being lucky enough to feel these wonderful moments every few days, your face just lights up, which is a really, really wonderful thing and tells me that you're in exactly the right place. Before we go, Geeta, can you define joy for you in three words, please?
Yes, I think I would say it was love, wealth and kids.
That's wonderful.
Because those are the three things that really, really matter to me.
It has been such a pleasure and a
thank
privilege.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much. Thank
no,
you so
thank
much
you for having
this
me.